What do you do when a crisis hits? Here's Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth.
If your life is always lived on the run, if your life is always lived with noise and clutter going on, you will tend to panic in a crisis. But if you've stored up a reserve, a reservoir of just fullness gained from spending time alone with the Lord, you'll find that in the crisis, you have a deep well to run to. You have a place to go.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth, author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For October 17th, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. We're wrapping up the last part of the series, How to Have a Quiet Heart. It's been a sweet one. If you've missed any of the last four episodes, you can find those at reviveourhearts.com. Here's Nancy with some closing thoughts.
Well, we've come to the end of our series on how to have a quiet heart from Psalm 131, but I hope that it's just the beginning of your learning to walk in quietness and simplicity and humility before the Lord. As we've been in this passage, I've been thinking about the hymn by Frances Havergal, Like a River Glorious, and that chorus has been running through my mind, Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Now, that's not just an old-time hymn. That's current-day reality. When our hearts are fixed upon Christ, we can have perfect peace and rest. As Psalm 131 says, let me quote it again, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from now and forever, from this time forth and forever. I want us to focus on just that last little phrase. Different translations say it differently. The old King James says, from henceforth and forever, from now and forevermore. You know what that says to me? And that is that there is never a good reason. Not now, not tomorrow, not next month, not next year, not 40 years from now. There is never and there never will be a good reason for the child of God to fret, fume, fuss, or fear. Never. The challenge is not while we're all sitting here listening to the Word of God with our open Bibles and taking notes. The challenge is when you get in your car today and you get out into the real world, which will provide a lot of opportunities for you to fret and fume and fuss and fear. That's when we need to counsel our hearts and say, trust in the Lord from now and forever. I want to wrap up this series by giving you several practical suggestions for how to cultivate a quiet, trusting heart. And these are just some things that have been helpful to me. Number one is the importance of a daily quiet time and regular Sabbaths. A daily quiet time and regular Sabbaths. By that, I mean time that you take out on a regular basis to center your heart on the Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Fixing your mind on the Lord. Taking those quiet times when you're alone, you're away from the crowd, you're away from your job, you're away from other responsibilities, you turn off the radio, you turn off the television, taking time to just be alone with the Lord in His Word will prepare you for times of crisis. It gives you a reservoir to draw from. If your life is always lived on the run, if your life is always lived with noise and clutter going on, you will tend to panic in a crisis. But if you've stored up a reserve, a reservoir of just fullness gained from spending time alone with the Lord, you'll find that in the crisis, you have a deep well to run to. You have a place to go. And some of you moms, you're thinking, when in the world can I ever get a quiet time? Listen, I'll tell you, if you'll take the moments, the minutes that you do have, I believe God will bless and multiply those. Give him what you do have. When you do have a few minutes, when the kids are down for a nap, before they get up, you say, whenever I get up, my kids get up. You know, your children pretty early in life come to an age where they can learn to be quiet for a period of time. They need to learn to have a quiet heart. And so your children early on as toddlers can learn, even if it's just for minutes, 15 minutes, that they need to be in their room playing quietly, and mommy is going to take time to spend time with the Lord alone. You can do it while you're nursing an infant. There are ways to find moments. And maybe just in a waiting room at a doctor's office, I keep in my purse a small little testament that I can always pull out. And anytime I have a spare few minutes, I can pull that out and I can be filling my mind and heart with the Word of God. Now, related to that, secondly, is eliminate unnecessary clutter from your life. If you want to have a quiet heart, eliminate unnecessary. Now, that word is important, unnecessary clutter from your life, because I would not suggest you leave here and go sell your children, but I'll tell you what, we all have unnecessary clutter in our lives. I look at some women today, and I see it in myself sometimes when I look in the mirror, and I see in people's eyes this look of being stressed off the chart. And I see women running around from one thing to another like chicken with their heads cut off, and I think, I can't tell you what to eliminate from your life, but there has got to be something that is unnecessary clutter. Examine your schedule for this season of life. Say, are there some things that don't need to be in my life right now? And that means sometimes, and you know, when you're doing a Christian radio program, you hate to tell people this, but sometimes you need to turn off your radio. Don't walk in your house and just automatically turn on the TV, turn on the radio. We're just so used to having noise around us all the time. You cannot have a quiet heart if you always have media going and blaring in your ears, in your eyes. Your children need to learn this too, by the way. For them always to be in front of a computer screen, always playing electronic games, does not tend toward a quiet heart. Eliminate unnecessary clutter from your life. And then when pressures come, interruptions, distractions, steadfastly refuse to get agitated, hot, and bothered. Discipline your soul. Discipline your heart. Say, I'm not going to let this make me agitated, hot, and bothered. That doesn't mean you never will. But purpose in your heart that when these things come, you will maintain a quiet heart. Here's another suggestion. Don't try to dull and medicate the pain or the pressures or the difficulty in your life with things less than God. Shopping, food, entertainment, TV, music, alcohol, drugs. These things may make you feel better and more calm for a few minutes, but they all wear off. They're short-lived. Put your hope in the Lord. And then pray about everything. Make that your first resort rather than your last. Say, Lord, what should I do? And there's so many illustrations of this in Scripture. I think of King Jehoshaphat when the Moabites and the Ammonites came against the nation of Judah. And Jehoshaphat just right away, he cries out to the Lord and he says, oh, Lord, we are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Make it your first resort. You get that letter with that piece of news, take it and lay it out before the Lord and say, Lord, what should I do? And then remember this, when it comes to keeping a quiet heart, you have to keep doing it. You have to keep going back to it. The other day, I had a number of phone calls in the course of one day, and by the end of the day, it was a Friday, I remember, I was just a multitude of thoughts within my heart. And I did feel like this kind of heaviness on my chest. This is just more than I can handle. I said, I'm going for a walk. I got up out of my chair, went outside. I had Psalm 131 in my head and my heart. And I began to quote this. And I just began word by word, phrase by phrase, to walk through Psalm 131. I was meditating on it. I would say a phrase and then I would pray. And then I would sing a hymn or a song. And I said to my heart, I am going to walk, pray, quote, sing until this heaviness lifts and my heart is quiet again. It took close to an hour. And I just kept walking, saying, Lord, you take it. I trust in you. And I could begin to sense the burden lift. You have to keep doing it. Keep going back to it. Eric Little was famous for the 1924 Olympics, where he refused to run on Sunday. You remember his story being told in Chariots of Fire. That movie didn't tell what I think is the most important part of his life, as he went on to become a missionary in China and was imprisoned during World War II. While Eric was in that prison camp, he developed a brain tumor and actually died of the brain tumor in the prison camp. And as he was in that prison hospital, There was a band of prisoners with musical instruments who were going through the camp playing songs and hymns. As they came close to the hospital where Eric was lying, dying of this brain tumor, he wrote out a note, handed it to a nurse, and asked her to take it out to the leader of the band. The note asked if they would please play what was one of Eric Little's favorite hymns. And they did outside his window. You're familiar with the hymn. It goes, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain." So say to your soul, "Be still, my soul. Hope in the Lord from now and forevermore." As our hearts are bowed before the Lord, would you just say to your soul, "Be still"? And Lord, I do pray that as people look at our lives, they would see a peace, a quietness, a rest that the world can't understand and it can't experience because it doesn't have the indwelling Spirit of Christ. I think this is one of the greatest ways, Lord, that our lives can be a light and an example and a blessing to the world around us. I think it's one of the greatest things that will draw people to Christ in a world filled with terror and fears and turmoil, that they can look at us and see there's peace in our souls, not because we don't have problems, not because we don't have difficult circumstances, but because we have you, and you are enough for all of our eternal needs. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Continue to do so and to quiet our hearts through your word and by the power of your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been giving you practical insight into developing a quiet heart, even when you're stressed by issues like finances. And we're about to hear an example of a woman who's modeled that kind of a quiet heart for decades. Jean Murphy was part of the studio audience at a Revive Our Hearts recording session. At the time, she was 91 years old. Her husband, Lloyd, went home to be with the Lord a few years before that. Now, this couple had made decisions to invest their lives in ministry, even when it wasn't obvious how they'd make it financially. And Nancy talked with Mrs. Murphy that day about God's provision.
Now, you and Lloyd have seen the Lord provide for you in some amazing ways over the years. Can you just tell us, because there's a lot of economic uncertainty today, and people are concerned about how their financial needs are going to be met. Just encourage these women about how God has met your needs over the years.
Never have we had a want or a need that God hasn't supplied. It hasn't always been like we've asked, but that's all right. I remember when we were praying, when they first started Social Security, and our conference that we belonged to suggested that Lloyd and I join Security. Well, it cost $300, and we didn't have even $100. And so we went to our knees, and he prayed first. And then I was praying, and while I was praying, the telephone rang. And they said, "We want to set up an office there in Goshen at the headquarters, and we wonder if Jean Murphy would do it. And we will pay her $300.
At one church where Lloyd pastored,
we were there for 5 or 6 years.
This couple only made a small salary, and they never received a raise.
We lived on the same thing when we went there as we did when we left. But God supplied all of our needs. And he always has. And I believe he will. My whole mission was Bible teaching. And I had many women and many young people when we first went where we were before I went to the nursing home. The young people asked me if they could have a Bible study. And I said, "There's nothing more that I would rather do than have a Bible study."
And you were teaching that study in your 80s.
I was in my 80s.
Yeah.
And they listened to this old woman teaching. And I have letters in my file that they say, "Dear Mrs. Murphy," and why they have loved me so much, I will never know. But God knows. And he supplied all my needs.
How long were you and Lloyd married?
66 and a half years. And the last thing I said to him, I said, "I love you so much." He said, "I love you more." I said, "Why do you say that?" Well, he said, "There's more of me."
How do you make a marriage go the distance like that?
I told him on our second date, I said, "I promised the Lord that I wouldn't go with anybody that I couldn't pray with." And he said, "Well, I'm not going to pray because you want me to." I said, "Well, that's up to you." But on our next date, he put his head down on the steering wheel and started to pray before we ever started. And we prayed together all through our marriage. Learn to pray with your husband. That means so much. And we prayed all through our marriage. One of the last things he said to me, "Honey, will you pray with me?" I'm so glad. I loved him very, very much.
And now you've been without him 3 years. How has the Lord met your needs as a widow?
I have no money, no money. And God promised that he would supply all my needs. He's never failed me. And I have many, many friends that are praying for me. And I don't want to miss what God has for me. I don't want to miss it.
It's been a sweet thing to see how Jean invested in so many people, young people, all kinds of people over the years. And now how God is using, when I say young people, it's not, I mean, I'm young to Jean, but also some of these young kids who care for her, who help get her to church and make sure her wheelchair is where she can see and come and retrieve her. And she is reaping in these years the investment that she has made in lives over so many years, when there's now not so much she can do for herself, but she has poured out and invested in others' lives. And I'm saying that because I know I'm looking at some moms and women of different seasons of life who are, it's all give right now. At least it feels that way. But just a reminder that you reap as you sow, and that now in her 90s, without income, God is meeting her needs through his people as she has invested all these years. And he's going to keep doing that as long as he gives you breath.
Jean Murphy hasn't only invested in a multitude of women as a pastor's wife and a Bible study teacher, she's also invested in you. She's faithfully supported Revive Our Hearts over the years through sacrificial giving, and more importantly, she's consistently prayed for this ministry. God takes the prayers and the gifts from our listeners and multiplies them in the lives of women who need to hear his truth.
Here's an email we received from a woman who listens to Moody Radio in Cleveland. She hears Revive Our Hearts, and she talked about how she had some really intense problems going on at work and in her relationship with the Lord, and she was stressed about this. And then she said, "Near the end of your broadcast, you asked for support, financial and prayer." She said, "You explained how we should approach a decision to give to your ministry. We should lay all our troubles before the Lord, ask him for his direction, and then follow it." She said, "I thought about that all day. In the evening, while I walked the dog, I asked God, what does it look like, hour by hour, day by day, to live in submission to God's will? And how can I discern his direction?" And then she said, "This morning, I laid my most troublesome problems before the Lord. I named all those involved. I asked him to shepherd all of us through this and that his will would be done. What a difference," she said. "I'm now beginning to understand." She said, I've never donated before to your ministry, but I did today. And then she expressed her gratitude to the Lord for using this ministry in her life and in the lives of so many others. Well, I'm so thankful for that gift, and even more so for the process of God at work in this woman's heart, helping her to deal with the challenges, the pressures she's facing at this time, to surrender them up to the Lord, and then to respond to His leading. I love seeing the Lord work in those ways in the hearts of His people.
You know, Nancy, I love hearing from listeners whose lives have been impacted by this ministry, and so often I'm mindful of the fact, as in this story, that it's not from our power, but it's God's Spirit working in their lives.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that God does in people's lives through this ministry, it's all God. It's all from Him. We're just vehicles that God is using to minister grace to the hearts of women around the world.
Yeah, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of bringing hope to women. When you make a donation to support this ministry, you're helping us spread the message of freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ all over the world. This month when you give, we're offering you a copy of Nancy's book, A Place of Quiet Rest. And it is such a helpful resource for those who want to cultivate a rhythm of intentional time with the Lord. Give and request your copy by visiting reviveourhearts.com. You can also donate by calling us at 1-800-569-5959. Next week, we're spending some time in Psalm 23, and this passage, it is so full of grace for the worn and the weary.
Hurry is not conducive to godliness, to relationships, to a healthy marriage, to spiritual growth. Godliness and intimacy are not cultivated on the run. They require time, lingering, meditation, focused attention. Remember that old time hymn? I was thinking about it as I was going through these notes last night. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Now, sheep don't know when they need to rest. And that's why the Good Shepherd leads them to green pastures and to still waters. And as some translations say, makes them lie down. It's time to rest. He shows them when they need to. Jesus' disciples, Jesus chose 12. Mark 3 tells us. First, why? What were they supposed to do? He didn't send them out first. It says He chose 12 that they might be with Him. And then, that He might send them out to minister to others. That's why I'm so glad, Angela, Monica, that you started this week with a time with Alice in prayer, waiting on the Lord, seeking the Lord. Did you find it was just good to stop, be still? I mean, it can be hard when your pulse is just constantly racing. Our phones have not helped this because there's so much we do now on our phones. So, that wasn't even in my notes. Thank you for that illustration. You see, before we can be fruitful and pour into others' lives, we have to feed on Christ and drink of Him.
I hope you'll join us and be refreshed. Have a great weekend. Hope you can worship the Lord with your local church, and then be back Monday for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.